The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from teenvogue.com, Chloe Kim, Amber Glenn, and more athletes speak about ICE, LGBTQ+ rights at 2026 Winter Olympics. This article was written by Donya Mamenian on February 20th. This article was written by Donya Mamenian on February 20th, and there is a note. All products are independently selected by our editors. If you buy something, we may earn an affiliate commission. While the 2026 Winter Olympics kicked off in Milan last week, athletes on Team USA, including Amber Glenn, Chloe Kim, and those with roots in the U.S., like Gus Kenworthy, couldn't just ignore what's been happening back home. Over the past couple of months, ICE has continued its presence across the country, particularly in Minneapolis, where Renee Good and Alex Preddy were killed. In response, citizens have taken to the streets in protest, and celebrities have been making statements on the red carpet. There are also the ongoing battles for LGBTQ+ rights in the U.S. Activists are advocating for trans athletes to compete in their sports. This issue permeated the 2024 Summer Olympics Games, as some of the women competing found themselves targeted by anti-trans attacks based on their appearance and athleticism. Continuing a legacy of political protest and commentary in sports, some Winter Olympics athletes are doing their own version of protest as they compete in the games. Others are reflecting on how it feels to represent the U.S. in its current state. From press conferences to social media posts, here's how athletes are speaking out. Hunter Hess. When asked at a press conference what it's like representing the U.S., freestyle skier Hunter Hess said, "It brings up mixed emotions to represent the U.S. right now, I think. It's a little hard. There's obviously a lot going on that I'm not the biggest fan of, and I think a lot of people aren't." He continued to explain that he considers himself representing his friends, family, former Olympic athletes before him, and the things that align with his moral values. It seems his comments struck a nerve, and President Trump responded. Hess, however, doubled down on Instagram. "There is so much that is great about America, but there are always things that could be better," Hess wrote. "One of the many things that makes this country so amazing is that we have the right and the freedom to point that out." After his qualifying run, Hess held up an L sign to his forehead. He said, "Apparently I'm a loser," seemingly referring to President Trump, calling him a real loser. In turn, Hess called that motivation, adding, "I worked so hard to be here. I sacrificed my entire life to make this happen. I'm not going to let controversy like that get in my way." Gus Kenworthy. Though Gus Kenworthy is competing on behalf of England in this Olympics, the skier was on Team USA at the 2014 Sochi Olympics, where he won a silver medal and advocated for stray dogs. Shortly after, he came out as gay and spoke out about how sports can be more inclusive. While he may not be representing his birth country this time, the Los Angeles-based athlete is still carrying on with his spirit of protest. On February 4th, Before the games got started, Kenworthy wrote, "F ice in the snow," and shared the photo on Instagram. In the caption, he asked followers to call their senators and put pressure on them during the current DHS funding negotiations. Later in a video, he said, "I care about the U.S., and I care about what's happening there." Amber Glenn. At a February 4th press conference, ice skater Amber Glenn, who came out as bisexual and pansexual in 2016, talked about how the Trump administration has affected the LGBTQ+ community and others. "It's been a hard time for the community overall in this administration," she said. "It isn't the first time that we've had to come together as a community and try and fight for our human rights." Glenn continued, "And now especially, it's not just affecting the queer community, but many other communities, and I think that we are able to support each other in a way that we didn't have to before. And because of that, it's made us a lot stronger." She also opposed the idea that athletes shouldn't be political, saying, "Politics affects us all." In an Instagram story, Glenn revealed that there has been backlash to her comments. "When I chose to utilize one of the amazing things about the United States of America, freedom of speech, to convey how I feel as an athlete competing for Team USA in a troubling time for many Americans, I am now receiving a scary amount of hate/threats for simply using my voice when asked how I feel," she wrote. Chris Lillis. At the same press conference where Hess spoke, American freestyle skier Chris Lillis said, "I feel heartbroken about what's happened in the United States. I think, as a country, we need to focus on respecting everybody's rights and making sure that we're treating our citizens, as well as anybody, with love and respect." He added that he hopes viewers can watch the Olympics and see that the athletes represent that image of America. Eileen Gu. California-born Eileen Gu, who found herself in the spotlight for choosing to compete as part of Team China, the country her parents emigrated from, for the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, offered support for Hess. Per ESPN, she said she talked to Hess, sharing that what he is going through now is similar to what she has experienced. To the media, she said, "I'm sorry that the headline that is eclipsing the Olympics has to be something so unrelated to the spirit of the Games. It really runs contrary to everything that the Olympics should be." Chloe Kim. As a child of immigrants, snowboarder Chloe Kim talked about how current events in the United States and at the Olympics have felt personal, saying it hits close to home. She also spoke up about athletes exercising their right to speak up. "The U.S. has given my family and me so much opportunity," she said. "But I also think that we are allowed to voice our opinions about what's going on. And I think we need to lead with love and compassion, and I would like to see some more of that." B. Kim. At the same press conference as Hess and Lillis, snowboarder B. Kim said the U.S. is obviously very divided. She said she is proud to represent the U.S. and added, "That being said, I think diversity is what makes us a very strong country and what makes us so special." She noted that she's the grandchild of immigrants and pointed to her fellow women's half-pipe snowboarders on the panel, Chloe Kim, Maddie Mastro, and Maddie Shafrick, and said that the four of them are a great example of diversity because they come from different backgrounds. Maddie Maestro. In addition to Chloe Kim and B. Kim's comments, Mastro said that she is saddened by what is happening in the U.S. and can't ignore it. And like Chloe, she emphasized the value of compassion. And there is a note. This article was originally published on February 10, 2026, and has been updated as the Olympics 2026 continue. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com, Explaining Diabetes, a Guide for Every Teen Who Wants Change. This article was written by Luna Xavier on February 7th. A lot of teens think diabetes is just caused by eating too much sugar or being overweight. But that's just one of the biggest misconceptions out there. In reality, this isn't true. The causes are way more complicated and often have nothing to do with food at all. There are actually three main types of diabetes, plus more than 200 rare forms that most people don't even know exist. As we get ready for National Diabetes Awareness Month, it's important to understand what diabetes really is, why it happens, and how different it is from the stereotypes. Here's a simple breakdown to clear things up. 1. Type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is when your immune system accidentally destroys the insulin-making cells in your pancreas. This occurs when your body makes little or no insulin, so sugar can't get into your cells. It happens mostly in kids and teens, but adults can get it too. It's not caused by diet or lifestyle. People must take insulin every day to stay alive. In a simpler explanation, your pancreas basically quits its job, so you have to take over using insulin shots or a pump. 2. Type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is when your body can still make insulin, but it doesn't use it well. This is called insulin resistance. It occurs when your body is working, but it's kind of glitchy and struggles to manage sugar. It is more common in adults, but teens can get it too. It is often linked to genetics, inactivity, or the body storing extra fat, not just eating too much sugar. It's managed with lifestyle changes and sometimes medication or insulin. In a simpler explanation, your body still has insulin, but it's acting like a slow Wi-Fi connection, taking too long to work. 3. Gestational diabetes. Gestational diabetes is a form of diabetes that develops during pregnancy. This means hormones during pregnancy can make insulin less effective, raising blood sugar. It only happens during pregnancy. Usually goes away afterward, but increases the risk of developing type 2 later. In a simpler explanation, it's like temporary type 2 diabetes during pregnancy caused by pregnancy hormones. There are 200 plus other types. These forms of diabetes are less known because they are rare and hard to diagnose. These are often grouped under monogenic, secondary, or rare types of diabetes. A. Monogenic diabetes. These forms are caused by single gene mutations and include MODY and neonatal diabetes. MODY, maturity onset diabetes of the young. MODY diabetes is caused by specific gene problems and often runs strong in families. This form is normally diagnosed in teens and has varying treatments. Some do not even have to use insulin. In a simpler explanation, your DNA has a glitch that affects how insulin works. Neonatal diabetes. Neonatal diabetes shows up in babies under 6 months old. It is caused by a rare gene mutation and is usually temporary but can be lifelong. In a simpler explanation, a baby is born with a genetic error that affects insulin. B. Secondary diabetes. Secondary diabetes is caused by another condition or treatment. These types happen because something else affects the pancreas or insulin system. Examples: cystic fibrosis related to diabetes, diabetes caused by pancreatitis, diabetes after pancreas removal, steroid-induced diabetes from high-dose medications, hormone disorders like Cushing's syndrome. In a simpler explanation, another health problem messes with your pancreas, causing diabetes. C. Rare autoimmune or genetic syndromes. Some syndromes include diabetes as one part of the condition. For example, Wolfram syndrome, Alström syndrome, IPEX syndrome, Rabson-Mendenhall syndrome, and many more. These come with multiple symptoms, and diabetes is just one piece. In a simpler explanation, some rare genetic conditions come bundled with diabetes. Why awareness matters. Most people only know about type 1 and type 2, but many people with rare forms spend years misdiagnosed. That means they don't get the right treatment. Raising awareness helps reduce stigma. It's not your fault. Improve early diagnosis. Help teens support friends who live with diabetes. Highlight that diabetes is not one size fits all. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. I was the first black male student body president at Harvard. Bridge builders paved the way. This article was written by Noah Harris on February 27th, and there is a note. In this op-ed for Black History Month, writer and Harvard Law student Noah Harris reflects on his time as student body president at Harvard and the bridge builders who helped get him there. What is the bridge builder's place in history? The annals of Black history are filled with these figures who began the work when the end goal seemed impossible. Jesse Jackson was one of history's great bridge builders. While they themselves may not achieve the ultimate goal, bridge builders put their heads down and run their leg of the race, knowing someone else may cross the finish line. Bridge builders aren't concerned with personal glory, but are transfixed with the never-ending pursuit of change. This Black History Month, and all year round, we must all strive to build bridges, whether or not we stand to benefit. In 2020, I became Harvard's first black male student body president in the school's then 386-year history. As a student of government and history, not for a second did I think this accomplishment was due to any major racial progress I inspired. The first person to do anything stands on the foundation laid by bridge builders. The very school that elected me required W.E.B. Du Bois to repeat his undergraduate classes because Harvard deemed inferior his 1888 degree from Fisk University. Instead of going elsewhere, Du Bois became a bridge builder once he completed his undergraduate degree in 2 years and later became the first African American to earn a Ph.D. from Harvard. Breaking barriers requires the perseverance of bridge builders. Without the work of Charles Hamilton Houston, there would not have been a Thurgood Marshall to end school segregation. Without Constance Baker Motley, there would not have been a Ketanji Brown Jackson to serve on the Supreme Court. Without the late Jesse Jackson, who died on February 17, 2026, there would not have been a Barack Obama to be elected President of the United States. Jackson's presence in Black history has been monumental. He was there in 1968 on the balcony of Lorraine Motel, pointing in the direction of the killer after Dr. King's assassination in Memphis. He was there in 2008 in Grant Park, tears running down his face as he witnessed President Obama's election in Chicago. Jackson has seemingly always been there at so many history-defining moments that are seared into the American consciousness. There's nothing flashy about bridge building. Many want to make history. Few want to build a bridge. Black History Month cannot simply be about those who made history. It has to honor those who made history possible. Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, John Lewis. Bridge builders open doors. They don't shut them. These exceptional figures plan for those who come next, even when it's not convenient. Bridge building, by nature, is generational. The world is lacking bridge builders. The aging top CEOs and politicians who retire with the torch and never pass it are failing to build bridges for the next generation. Bridge building doesn't require a social movement. Sometimes advocating for change to everyday issues can make all the difference. As I returned to Harvard for law school last year, it was fulfilling to see all the benefits students enjoy that our presidential administration fought for. Laundry is free. Double majors are allowed. Lyft is a procurement partner of the university. Female hygiene products are in every bathroom. The New York Times is free for all 20,000-plus undergraduate and graduate students. Who are you paving the way for today? Are you only striving for your success? You can be a bridge builder if you fight for a better world for your children and your grandchildren. What problems are we leaving to the next generation? Choose to be a bridge builder. Choose to be like Jesse Jackson. As tributes pour in to honor the late reverend, politician, diplomat, and freedom fighter who was Jesse Jackson, what is clear is that he was always concerned with the well-being of others and sought to push this nation forward to live up to the meaning of its creed. Among many reasons, he fought so the next generation may thrive. Jackson embodied this sentiment with his 1972 appearance on Sesame Street when he said, "Never look down on anybody unless you're helping him up." Perhaps Jackson's greatest gift is that he was more than somebody, and yet he was one of us in American politics at a time when representation was radical. May he rest in power. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. What the Ice Out pins at the Grammys 2026 mean? This article was written by Crystal Bell on February 1st. Sometimes, even a small accessory can carry greater significance in fashion. On the Grammys 2026 red carpet, celebrities wore Ice Out pins to do just that. Over the past month, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE, has been deployed in large numbers across the country, particularly in Minneapolis. On January 20th, 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos was detained by ICE. Just 4 days later, Alex Preddy was shot and killed by an ICE officer. As a symbol of protest, stars like Helen J. Shen, Kehlani, Justin and Hailey Bieber, Billie Eilish, and Phineas stepped out on the Grammys 2026 red carpet wearing ICE out, literally wearing their values. Bad Bunny took it a step further by saying it during his speech while accepting the award for the Best Musica Urbana Album. The pins are somewhat of a staple this award season and were first spotted at the Golden Globes 2026. According to a press release circulated to journalists ahead of the Golden Globes red carpet, the pins are a part of an ACLU-endorsed campaign organized by a coalition of entertainment industry professionals with support from Marimoto, Move On, the National Domestic Workers Alliance, and Working Families Power. At the Golden Globes, celebrities also wore Be Good pins as part of a coordinated action following the death of Renee Macklin Good, a 37-year-old Minneapolis mother, poet, and writer who was shot and killed by ICE. The news sparked vigils and demonstrations in cities across the country as communities mourned her loss and grappled with the violent circumstances of her death. Organizers say the phrase, "Be good," is meant to serve as a reminder of what it means to be good to one another in the face of such horror, to be a good citizen, neighbor, friend, ally, and human, per the press release. These pins also honor Keith Porter Jr., another victim. The 43-year-old man killed by an off-duty ICE agent in Los Angeles shortly after New Year's Eve. So, a pin may be small, but under the gaze of social media and camera flashes, it becomes impossible to miss. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138.